Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 25 more minutes of this show left here on this Tuesday, June the 24th, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard. And joining us now in studio is Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, brother Steve. Good morning, everybody.
How you doing, brother?
I'm well. Heather and I are getting ready to go on a cruise. We're going on an Alaskan cruise.
So. Alaskan cruise?
Yeah, in August. So we're getting to the right kind of clothes and starting to look at what you do in Ketchikan, Alaska, that kind of stuff.
Right? Well, what about this?
Oh, listen, I've been on two of those.
Yeah?
Those are, prepare to be amazed.
Yeah, we're going to go to Glacier Bay and all that kind of stuff, but yeah. I've only been on the Caribbean things with a lot of sun and
right.
like snorkeling and everything. I'm not sure what to expect with
bring
Alaska.
Bring your jacket. It does okay. get chilly.
No, you can snorkel.
Yeah, I can.
They have these excursions, snorkeling right. with the polar bears.
That's right.
They advertise them different ways.
They do.
But, it's not for everybody. But.
That's right. Not everybody can handle it.
I actually, when I, back years ago, when I was in the Bay Area working with Silicon Valley, I went and got certified, scuba certified, in the Monterey Bay. That is some very, very cold water.
A suit on?
Oh, yeah.
A body suit?
For sure you did.
Otherwise you can't.
That would be.
The Pacific Ocean is very cold everywhere, right?
Pretty much.
From San Diego up to.
It gets a little, further north you go, the more it seems to be cold.
Yeah.
So Alaska, I mean, that's.
Yeah. But going to Alaska, so where are you leaving out of?
We're leaving out of Seattle.
All right.
So 7 days, and we're going to stop in.
The whole trip's there and back 7 days?
Yes.
Okay. How long does it take you to get from Seattle to, well, Ray knows this. He's been up there, done that. What, did you go out of Seattle too or Vancouver?
Well, I've done it both ways. I did one where we started up in, I want to say Anchorage, and then came south, right?
Oh, okay.
And then done another one exactly the way you've done it. It's just, so are you going with a group or just you and Heather? And
just Heather and I?
Oh, that's nice.
So are you going to, are you saying you're going up there and then flying back from Alaska?
No.
Or
we're flying
the
into
boat
Seattle.
The whole time?
Yeah. We're flying into Seattle.
Okay.
Going on the boat up north to wherever you go in Alaska, then come back down. I think we'll be in Victoria, B.C.
I'm kind of surprised they do that in 7 days, I guess I'm saying. But maybe, you know.
There's two whole days where you do nothing but at sea. That'd probably be on the way up there.
And Steve, remember that on a cruise ship, remember these three words, calories don't count.
That's right.
They do not count on a cruise ship. On the land, they count.
Yes.
On the ship, they don't.
I will remember that. It's interesting because, you know, I've been on a couple of these cruise lines that have all this food. We were suggested we're going to take advantage of going on Cunard.
Cunard?
Cunard Cruise Lines. And
okay,
it's supposed to be a little more oriented for adults. There's not going to be a lot of teenagers, screaming kids on the cruise. A little more relaxed.
They're the people who did the real big time transatlantic, you know, passages back in the day, right?
The Titanic white freight line merged with Cunard. So technically,
I'm on the Titanic
cruise line.
So that's in August.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we'll bring a report back.
We look forward to hearing about it. Absolutely. I've never done that myself.
Yeah, maybe after I'll bring some fur back if I club some baby seals, you know, like that stuff.
What do you got in the news there?
All right. Hey, the more we learn about the Mossad, which is Israel's intelligence agency, the more we just shake our heads and wonder. So, you know, the Mossad was behind the, what do they call it, the Grim Beeper attack. Hezbollah in Lebanon.
The pagers went off.
The pagers went off and exploded. They were behind all kinds of subterfuge through this whole thing. Well, what we're finding out now is, according to audio received by the Washington Post, just hours after Israel launched its first wave of attacks, this is on June 13th, back well before we got it, the president sent our planes. But Israel called 20 of the top generals in Iran.
On their cell phones?
On their cell phones with a warning. And I want you to hear now. What you're going to hear is the actual call. It's all in Persian, so you won't be able to understand it. But I have voiced over the translation. I went last night and learned Persian real quick so I could do this. But no, the translation was available. And you're going to hear my voice over the Persian call. But imagine you're a general in the army and you hear this. Cut 11.
The only advice I'm giving you right now, I can advise you now, you have 12 hours to escape with your wife and child. Otherwise, you're on our list right now. You, all of you, one by one on the list that I'm looking at, and you're one of our next targets. We will hit you, your family, your children, everyone, with the dirt. I only call to tell you, look, as long as there's time, I'll give you a reprieve. Like I said, 12 hours from this very minute that I spoke to you, you have time to escape. We're closer to you than your own neck vein. Put this in your head.
Yikes.
Whoa. Closer than your own
neck vein. And then they went on to demand from these people a video formally dissociating themselves from the Ayatollah and saying that they're out.
Well, yeah. What happened?
Well, I don't know.
When was this?
This would have been hours after Israel first started started sending planes.
But the audio is just being released.
It was just leaked to the Washington Post.
Gotcha.
Mossad is kind of like our CIA. Except probably better at their jobs, because Israel's very survival depends on them, Mossad. And so that was psychological warfare, too, right there, in addition to a real warning, because I know Israel has taken out and killed a lot of the nuclear scientists that were working with Iran. Their top military people, generals, have been targeted, and in fact, one of the stories was that Mossad was able to get so deep inside Iranian leadership that they were able to fool a few of the top generals or either top commanders to be in one room together, and then
they watched them and saw the telltale signs of what would draw them into a meeting, and they said somehow they knew how to keep them there, and then they wiped them out with a bomb.
Yeah, this is ruthless stuff. This is not that even listening to that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
even though you're knowing what you're listening to, but the Mossad and Israel, they can't afford to mess around, play around. They can't afford to.
They really can't afford to
be wrong about things
or negotiate. Really, I mean, it's just
no, because the survival of their country and their people are at stake. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think about that, Ray?
Can you imagine that the war is going on and your phone rings, right? And you're thinking, okay, it's my commander.
Right.
I got something else. I got, or you know, my wife calls. Is everything okay? And you hear that ominous voice saying, you are on the list, and we are closer to you than your neck vein, which would make that, I think that would make the hair on the back of my neck stand up right there.
And by the way, we're taking not only you, we're your wife and kids out too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's psychological warfare as much as it is anything right there. All right, next story.
All right, well, this will make you a little uncomfortable for a different reason. I want to get Ray's thought on this. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has become anything other than evangelical, everything other than evangelical. And one of their women pastors or pastresses, they don't call them that.
Pastresses?
That's what I'm calling her.
I thought that was like what you get for dessert at Olive Garden, right?
It may
there.
Be. Huh? It may be. Anyway, one of their pastors.
I have a raspberry pastresses. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's true. I wanted to hear. She was explaining the Great Commission. And Ray, I'd love to get your take on this. Cut 12. 13.
You are supposed to be my witnesses. You are supposed to make disciples. You are supposed to tell everybody to change their mind and way of life. It's a new translation of repent. We who are in kind of progressive church circles don't tend to be real excited about the idea of running out and telling other people to change because of Jesus. Other people are beloved by God and have God in them and in their lives and speaking to them too, and we discover together what God means. I think that there are people who are perfectly happy in other faiths who do not need converted to ours. I think there are people who are perfectly happy with no faith at all, and I don't think we're doing them any favors if they have no, if they don't believe in God. I don't think we're doing them any favors by jumping on top of them and telling them they're wrong.
Yeah, don't tell them they're wrong.
Well, I agree. We shouldn't be jumping on top of people, right? That form of evangelism is gone, past tense, right? But look, what are we going to say about this? Number one, this pastoress, whatever you called her, she is perfectly typical of what you hear in mainline denominations. We shouldn't think that that's not an extreme example, Steve. That's what you will hear in mainline denominations. Number two, that bears no resemblance to the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus gave in Mark 16, Luke 24, and especially in Matthew chapter 28. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just unbelief. That is rank heresy. That is, and I use this phrase, people throw it around, and I use this phrase advisedly. What she is saying is a lie from the pit of hell. It is satanic in its root, in its origin, and it is satanic in its effect, and those who follow that kind of teaching will end up where this woman will end up unless she truly repents and comes to Jesus. You're going to end up in hell. This is the blind leading the blind. You're guaranteed to fall into the ditch.
Well, I just wonder what kind of faith that is. What kind of religion is that you don't care if anybody else believes it?
Certainly not Christianity, because if you believe, or we believe, whoever believes the Bible and knows that there's a heaven and there's a hell, then obviously if you knew that someone who was going to hell, and you knew that, or at least their lifestyle and everything else says that, then you would want to convert them, obviously. But that's a serious question. I got a funny thought, though. As I was listening to her, all I could do is picture her in a room in like a kumbaya and just sharing things that come to her mind that while she's holding a Bible that she doesn't even believe in. I've always wondered why. Other obviously what Ray Pritchard said is the answer, but I wonder why people like herself has to go to so much stress and anxiousness to not use the very book that she's holding. Just create your own. What's her name?
I don't. Let's not
go with Susie. Okay. Why doesn't Susie just say, here's the religion according to Susie?
Right.
And just go with it.
She has pronouns.
Just go with it. It just
that would be more honest.
Yeah, be more honest. It's completely.
All right. You want to know why the mainline Protestant denominations are dying? Yes. It's because of that garbage that she just espoused right there. If you don't believe in anything, there's no point in
trying to convince somebody else to.
Yeah, then nobody's going to come to your church.
Yes.
Eventually.
Yes.
Nobody's going to come to your church because if you don't believe in the teachings of the, she's saying that all roads lead to God.
That's what she said.
That's what she's saying. So why do I want to go to your church when I can go to the God of the golf course?
Yes, she said.
Or I can go to the golf of the woods. Go ahead.
She said that if someone doesn't believe in God and you know they don't believe in God, the worst thing you can do is tell them about God. That's the craziest.
That's just, right. I don't know what happened, but so many of these mainline, which is one. What is that called? The
ECLA, Evangelical.
Yeah.
Church in America.
I know you got other stories, but just Ray for a couple more minutes. What time in history did the seminaries begin? Because this has to come from a lot of the cases come from a seminary teaching.
Well,
so when did they start going?
I think we can look back about 100 and 50 years ago to the late 1800s,
okay,
with the influence of German higher criticism, the influence of many, many new, quote, liberal ideas, as these seminaries, which had been for generations, Wesley, had been basically, maybe not profoundly, but basically evangelical, began to move further and further away. And as for this lady, she calls herself a Lutheran. Somebody get Martin Luther on the phone.
Sure.
Let's get Dr. Luther on the phone and ask him what he thinks about what's being said in his name.
As long as you're not preaching out of Hebrews.
Well, you know, Luther would have nothing to do with what this woman said. It's an abomination. It's a travesty, and it will lead people. That kind of preaching, not only, as Tim said, empties the churches, but it leads people to eternal destruction.
Yep, absolutely.
You're listening to today. Absolutely. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, any more to say or any new update in the last hour
about the ceasefire?
Yeah.
Tentatively seems to be holding is the last I have seen. It's tenuous, but you would expect that for people who have been at each other's throat for so long. And then there's Al Green, is that the congressman, has promised he will be introducing articles of impeachment today. I think he does that every day that the Senate is in, or the House is in session, but he's going to do it again today.
Who's going to do that?
Senator or Congressman Green. I think it's maybe Al.
Where's he from?
Let me look it up.
Al Green.
Wasn't there a singer?
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Probably not the same guy.
Al Green, representative from Texas.
Yep. The other Al Green, Reverend Al Green from Memphis.
Yeah.
I think he was a soul singer, right?
Yes, yes.
R&B. Yep.
Yeah, and great.
Mm-hmm, very well. Yep.
So he's going to be seeking to impeach Donald Trump over the airstrikes.
It's not going anywhere.
No. So, yeah, tentatively holding as far as we know. Although, yeah, we're hoping that this pans out. Did you know that, I can't remember, Brazil maybe has nominated Donald Trump for Nobel Peace Prize?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That tells you the culture shifting.
Well,
Brazil.
Yeah.
Is that where the fellow has the Elvis hair? Is the president. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I do not.
He's got the sideburns and everything.
Yeah, Bolsonaro?
For real.
Is it a Bolsonaro? No.
Or is that Argentina?
It was Pakistan.
Okay, I heard about that.
Pakistan has nominated Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize because he brought a truce between them and India.
Yeah, and that was a dangerous situation. Yeah.
Well,
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
What a world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there it is.
Every day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What a world.
Yeah, what else you got, Steve? We got 7 minutes left.
All right. You ever get a email that says you have an unpaid parking ticket or an unpaid toll that you have to pay?
I'd say raise your hand if you haven't gotten one of those.
Right.
Well, according to a survey, 96% of Americans receive at least one scam message via email. So CNET was doing the survey.
You mean a day or a week, or did they say?
Each week. One a week. 96% get one a week. 37% receive more than 10 each week. So I don't know what makes you, like, if you click on one. And here's the thing. You think they haven't got you if you go and click and you just don't give money. As soon as you click, they've got you. They know... You're alive. Sending more stuff your way. Plus,
all right, there's ways this is happening, and I don't know what somebody's going to have to do something to help stop this because it's wearing people out. Between phone calls,
text messaging,
and emails, mm-hmm. I call them spammers and scammers.
Mm-hmm. And thieves.
It's just relentless with people now, huh?
And thieves, they're a thief.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but they get you on the phone, and they take advantage of elderly people a lot of times, too. You heard that. So what do you – right? I know you talked about this, and you said they must have your picture.
Look, we go up to Chicago. We drive to Chicago. And, you know, there's toll roads all over the Chicago area. And we come back, and the next week we get, I mean, I get them all the time, a text message saying, so-and-so, you were on the Illinois toll road. Well, it's true. We were on some of their toll roads. Click on this link and pay the money, or else you will be in some kind of big trouble. I can understand how that would look. It kind of unsettles me.
Right.
And I know what's going on.
Right.
They, whoever they are, they know that Marlene and I were in Chicago. They know we were on the toll roads. Tim, how do that? Whoever they are, how do they know that? Because it's a scam. And if you click on the link, I mean, as Steve said, they've got you. They knew we were there. They knew we were on the toll roads. I can easily understand why. And you said senior adults. Look, that's me. I can understand why people would get scared and give them your credit card. And boy, then you're in trouble when you've done that.
There's another one going around, the DMV.
That's right. That's the one I get
in the various states.
Once a month. Once every
saying
three
you got
weeks.
An you got an outstanding speeding ticket or something.
Well, the one I get most often is a toll. So they say, "Hey, you got a toll."
Like Ray's talking about. Yeah.
The phone calls, what they'll do if you answer the phone calls, they'll sample your voice, and then they have your voice, and they can use AI to make it say whatever they want it to say.
That's showing up in some of the more recent movies and or TV series where they're using it's AI voice. They copy if you take the call and you start talking, then they copy, they keep your voice and they copy and they reuse it.
Also, the fake invoices for businesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another email tactic that they try to use. So I don't know. It's just I know a lot of people get it a lot worse than I do. They're just wearing people out.
This is something you do need to be somewhat paranoid about.
Yes. Yeah.
This is something to be paranoid about.
Especially in the phishing emails and forth too. Where they want to, the scammers want to get you to click on a link.
Yep, and then they have access to everything in your phone or in your computer or in your tablet.
I think the old when in doubt, don't, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Don't.
You don't know who it is, don't.
Well, even if you think you do, you better triple check it. I would say
that's
call.
Right. And
go ahead.
Have somebody, have a friend, somebody who you can trust, who knows this, and say, does this look legit?
Yes.
Right?
We need to, you know what, now that we're having this conversation, we would do our audience a great service to have one or two of our IT guys on, like Nick or Nate, because he has a particular website that's free that he uses. When I get one that I'm questioned about and I don't know, I can send it to him, and he has a way of being able to see if it's fraudulent or not. Anyways,
a good point.
We could have him. There's three or four steps you can do that he would be able to help us out with. I know that in the last 2 years I've become so educated on this based on the training that AFA's IT team does for us as a staff that it's helped me out tremendously, and I can almost spot it as quick as anybody now because of their help.
You can listen to AFA, or you can hire your own IT professional.
That's right, yeah.
Well, the AI is changing the way spammers and scammers work, because it's no longer just the Nigerian prince.
That's right. Hey, in light of our conversation about the Lutheran so-called female pastor, we have an article that we posted on our Today's Issues page called The Gospel. It's got Pastor Bert Harper, who is a co-host of Exploring the Word. In 3.5 minutes, he walks us through the road of salvation. We encourage you to go to our Facebook page, our Today's Issues Facebook page, and share that video with your friends far and wide, as he does. Brother Bert Harper does a wonderful job sharing the gospel.
Awesome. By the way, spammers and scammers would be a great name for like a heavy metal band, I think. You know, something like that.
I don't
know.
Obviously, the problem with that is it's funny for us, but nobody would go.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the spammers and the scammers. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.